2. Nimue's Cave, the Mountains of Light, the Temple Lands. Charlian knew she was gaping like a child, witnessing a stage conjurer's illusions for the first time, but she couldn't help it. For that matter, she hadn't particularly cared either, as she'd watched in breathless, unalloyed delight, while Merlin brought the recon skimmer down into the thicker air and bright daylight of the Mountains of Light. Thicker air, indeed, she snorted at her own thought. You're still high enough you'd pass out almost instantly, not to mention freezing to death almost as quickly, if you weren't locked up inside Merlin's skimmer, you silly twit. The mountain peaks reaching up toward them were crowned with thick, eternal blankets of snow. It was already high winter in these latitudes, but those mountains would have been snow-covered whatever the time of year, she thought, and adjusted the visual display, shivering inside as she gazed at their bleak, icy summits and the glaciers oozing ever so slowly down their flanks, and watched ice crystals blow on the thin winds, glittering in the bright sunlight. It was the first time she'd ever been to the continent of East Haven. In fact, it was the first time she'd ever been to the mainland at all. She'd always intended to make the pilgrimage to Zion and the Temple, just as the writ enjoined all of God's children to make it. But there'd always been too many charges on her time, too many decisions to make. Too many political crises for the first true reigning queen in Chisholm's history to deal with. And the last thing I need is to be making any pilgrimages to the temple now, isn't it? She thought bitterly. Somehow I don't think I'd enjoy the Inquisition's greetings. On the other hand, Vicar Jaspar, the day is coming when a lot of Carisians are going to be heading for Zion, whether the Inquisition wants to see us there or not. You're sure no one's going to see us, Merlin? She asked, glancing at the secondary display that showed Merlin's face. I'm sure, Your Majesty, Merlin replied, smiling reassuringly back at her out of the same display. Nobody really lives here, even in the summer, and the Snarks have the entire area under observation. Trust me, there's no one down there, and even if there were, I've got the skimmer in full stealth mode. We'd be invisible as far as they were concerned. I don't mean to dither, she said half apologetically. Your Majesty, Charlian, you're doing one hell of a lot better than I imagine I'd be doing if our positions were reversed, he assured her. I doubt that somehow, she said dryly. It's probably just that I've learned to pretend better than you realize. I think it comes with being a queen. Marak always told me it was vital to convince people you were calm and in charge, no matter how scared you really were. Father always told me the same thing, Caleb agreed in her ear, and she heard a sharper edge of envy in his voice. She knew he was watching the imagery relayed from the skimmer, but she also knew that wasn't the same thing as actually being there. And I'm probably the only person who wishes he were here more than he does. She suppressed a nervous chuckle at the thought. Either way, it won't be much longer, Merlin assured her. Watch. Watch what? Charlian began, then froze, her eyes wide, as Merlin flew straight into a sheer vertical face of stone. They weren't actually moving all that quickly, a corner of her brain realized. Certainly not compared to the velocity of their flight here, at any rate. But they were going quite fast enough for her heart to leap up into her throat. She felt herself tensing uselessly for impact, then exhaled explosively as a portal literally snapped open in front of them. Merlin! Sorry. There was genuine apology in the deep voice, but there was also an undeniable edge of amusement, and Charlian made a mental note to find out whether or not it was possible to throttle a Pika. And, for that matter, to throttle her insufferable lout of a husband, she thought, as she listened to him laughing over the comm. "I suppose you think that was astonishingly funny, don't you, Caleb?" she inquired in a dangerously affable tone, as the skimmer swept down the center of a huge, perfectly circular, brightly lit tunnel. "Ah, no, no, not actually," the Emperor said instantly, once again demonstrating his acumen as a tactician. "Good," she told him. "As for you, Merlin Athrawis..." "I know you're going to make me pay for it," he told her, "but it was worth it."